Father, as we come to you in prayer this morning, last Sunday of 2024, and what a time to look back and reflect and be grateful for all that you've done in our lives, for both the good and the bad times. Because, Lord, we know it's through those struggles, through those bad times, that we grow closer to you and that you produce in us perseverance. Perseverance produces in us a stronger faith. And so, Father, I pray that as we take some time to reflect as a church today, and not only reflect, but look ahead, I pray that you would help us to have hearts of gratitude, both for what you have done, but also for what you're going to do. Because, Lord, we live in a dark world. A world that is in need of you, a world that's in need of your church to actually act like the church, to actually be the church, to be your hands and feet in this world. And Lord, it's time for us to be who you have called us to be. And so, Father, I pray that this morning, as we do look back and we do look ahead, Father, I pray that you would meet us here. Pray that you keep us safe here in this storm. And Lord, I pray for those meeting in our church who are sick today, who are not here, who are at home, or even those that are traveling. Lord, I pray that you would be with them. I pray that you would meet them where they are at. And ultimately, Lord, we pray for their healing. And Lord, I pray that those of us that are here continue to feel your presence in a way that only we can. And so, Lord, I pray that you would continue to use us, continue to use this church for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. This morning's a morning of first. I've never had to, plan a service during a tornado warning and severe thunderstorm warning and all that, but just so you know, it does look like the worst is behind us. During that middle song, the bottom dropped out there, and the parking lot is now soaking wet, but the wind didn't get up too bad, and it looked like the tornado warning is going to stay pretty far south of us, probably stay in Montgomery County, but we do have a ton of people in our church who are sick, probably half of our church, half of the people that were here last Sunday. We had 103 last Sunday, but probably half of them have come down with a cold, with the flu, with whatever it is. We battled it a little bit earlier in the week. Randy says he's had it. It's going around. And so a lot of them are watching online. Of course, we don't know if the internet's up right now or not, so yeah, Zach just went like this, so who knows. But they'll watch it later if everything works according to plan. We'll see. But this is the last Sunday of the year, and we're going to do things a little differently today. We're going to recap the past year. We're going to look back at the past year. We're going to celebrate the past year, but we're also going to look ahead at the end and specifically about our partnership with Random and First. But every year, God gives me a word for the year, and that word, it basically is used to help define the upcoming year. And if you've been a part of our church since we started in 2016, you know those words have also almost been prophetic. A few examples here would be in 2017, our word was become, and our focus was on becoming more like God, and that was the year in which we were at our lowest attendance numbers. It was just a few of us coming to church, and yet it was probably one of our more crucial years in terms of developing us to become the church that we are today. In 2018, our word was believe, and our focus was on believing that God could do the impossible, and wouldn't you know, that was the year that we were approached about receiving this building, this campus, this facility, for free. And I know that when I was first approached about that, I was told from multiple people in the community that it would never happen, but I remembered our word for that year, which was believe. And then 2020, most of you know that as the year of COVID, But that year in January, I delivered our word, and it was mobilize. And we didn't know it at the time, but we would literally be mobile for half of that year due to COVID-19, due to the pandemic. This year, our word was expand, and we talked about it in three different ways: expanding our capacity, expanding the kingdom of God, and expanding our kingdom influence. And that's what I want to go through today, how we have seen that take place in our church over the last year. We're going to take time to reflect, we're going to take time to celebrate, and ultimately we're using the past to give us momentum to look ahead. I want you to think about today as almost like a state of the church of address, but by the end of the day, I will give you our word for 2025. You know, it didn't hit me that, this didn't hit me until I was working on the sermon, but when our DS came down and preached, he preached on the exact same passage I am preaching out of today, which happened to be our passage for the year, which was Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. I don't think it's a coincidence that in our one visit with the DS, he preaches on the exact passage that we have designated as our passage for the year. Let's read it, and then we're going to break it down today. We're going to do a little Bible study type stuff today. Let's read verses 16 through 21. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This was a prayer from Paul praying for the Ephesian church and ultimately praying for believers, and he gives us a lot of good nuggets in that I want to go through today. Let's first talk about expanding our capacity, and what I meant in this case was that the capacity is about something that we can hold. Paul, in verse 19, he prayed that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. In other words, he prayed that we may be filled to capacity with God. That would be full. That would be overflowing, and we'll get to that in a little bit. When we are filled with God, we are filled with everything of who he is. We're filled with his power. We're filled with his holiness. We're filled with him in our life, and it will change the way that we live. Going back to the first part of this passage, he says that I pray that out of his glorious riches. So he's telling us that God has glorious riches. And we know that God does, because God ultimately created everything. Everything is his. He has endless resources. He says that it is out of those glorious riches that God would strengthen us, would strengthen you. With what? With power. So that power is derived from the glorious riches and is delivered through his Holy Spirit who is in us. When we become believers in Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins to dwell in us. And all of that is for a purpose. Anytime you see "so that," that is a cause and effect relationship. And ultimately, we experience his power that is derived from his glorious riches, delivered through the Holy Spirit, for the purpose of Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. Now, the question becomes, when we read that, why would we need God's power that is derived from the glorious riches, that is delivered through the Holy Spirit, in order for God to dwell in our hearts? Well, it's because our hearts are full of a lot of stuff that shouldn't be there. Our hearts are full of our sin nature, of sin. So in order for us to overcome sin, we need God's power at work in our life so that we can be filled towards the end to the measure of all the fullness of God. So what we need is God's power to work in us so that we have the capacity to experience God at work. And when we talk about developing that capacity, it means that it is up to us to make room for God through His power that is at work in our inner being. In other words, what we talked about doing this past year was being intentional about trying to grow and become more like God, experiencing that power at work in our life. And we've seen you do that. One of the things we did differently this summer was we did a whole church study. Rather than doing multiple table gatherings, we did one study here in the church over the summer. We had four sets of tables set up in the church. We did a full meal, and we were able to do a study called Rooted, where we talked about the fundamentals of Christianity and what it means to be like Jesus. And looking back, we're planning on doing something similar to that this year because over the summer, we had multiple people who had never been a part of one of our small groups join as we studied together. We had some that hadn't been a part of a group in a while come back. We built new connections with other people in the church, and we learned a lot, and it set us up well for the rest of the year. In our table gatherings, which is our form of small groups, this semester, we have seen almost 65% of our regular attenders choose to attend a table gathering. Being a part of a table gathering, I think, is important to expanding our capacity. Because we're allowing room for God to work in our life. We're taking time to separate ourselves from the world, from work, from busyness, and ultimately just to be with God's people, to be with one another, and to push each other closer to Jesus. Of those who attended in this current semester, we have seen over 10% of those attending for the first time, a small group for the first time. So that's great statistics. Now, our goal, though, is not for 60-something percent of our church to be involved in table gathering. Our goal is for 80% of our regular attenders attending to be a part of our small groups. But we are thankful for what we have seen thus far. But those metrics are only somewhat reliable. I'm a stats guy, so I like looking at stuff like that. But what really matters is stories. Something our leadership team has started doing pretty regularly in our leadership team meetings is sharing the stories about the growth that we have seen in people in our church. I'm only a part of the Tuesday table gathering, so I'm not a part of the Monday, the Wednesday, or the Friday. I don't see the stuff going on there. It's a time for us to hear from those leaders about how this person's growing and how this person's growing and how this marriage seems to be doing better and how this seems to be going better, so on and so forth. It's been a really great time. It's the highlight of our meetings for me to hear the growth that we are seeing in people. We can talk about stats. We can talk about attending small groups, all that, but that doesn't mean that you're making capacity for God to work in your life. What we have seen, though, is that God is filling people to capacity with Him. And as God fills us to capacity with His presence and His power, that ultimately will result in, in expanding the kingdom of God. We talked about expanding the kingdom of God this past year, which means that we want to bring as many people into the kingdom of God as possible. And so we've talked about evangelism a little bit more than we normally would. Evangelism is basically about sharing the gospel with people. It was in this past year that many of you know Randy Garner from Virginia. He came down and preached and did a great sermon on evangelism. Something that convicted my heart at the beginning of the year and still convicts my heart now is that there is a lack of evangelism in the church. Evangelism is not something the typical churchgoer does anymore. They leave it up to the pastor, they leave it up to the staff, but ultimately evangelism, sharing the gospel with other people, is a part of the calling for every individual. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." He didn't tell that just to pastors. He didn't tell that just to the disciples. That is the great commission for every single one of us. And about every statistical place you look at, it says the majority of people in our county, in Randolph County, are going to hell if the world ended today. 65%, this was one zip code study that they did a while back, 65% of Randolph County residents are not religious at all. There was a more local study done, I think, by some local churches, and those stats said that only about 12.5% of Randolph County residents go to church on a regular basis. Which means, this was the numbers I looked at this morning, which means about 130,000 people in Randolph County, 130,000 people in Randolph County are most likely not committed Christians. Those numbers indicate that about 9 of out of every 10 people you meet in Randolph County could be headed to hell right now if they died. Those numbers should break our hearts. That's exactly why, I mean, there's churches everywhere in Randolph County. I mean, you drive up the road here and you're going to pass 3 or 4 churches. There's 3 right here within, what, a half a mile, maybe a quarter of a mile. We need more churches because we got more people that need to be reached. Because even if all those people attended church, our churches would not be able to hold that many people. Not only that, I couldn't remember, we had a... One Sunday, we had a county commissioner here, and he told me how much growth we're expecting in the next 5 years, and he might have said 100,000. It was way high number. And so we need more churches. We need more people working together. We need the church to wake up and to share the gospel with other people. And I think the key to unlocking evangelism is love, which happens to be the second part of Paul's prayer here. So he talks about us being filled with God, talks about us experiencing God's power at work in our life, and we're experiencing that power so that he pushes sin out of our life and so that we come to faith in him and he begins to work in our life. Once he starts to work in our life, Paul talks about being rooted and established in love. Love is the focus of this passage, and if you remember when our district superintendent came down, this was the exact passage that he preached off of. He talked about how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. But Paul says that we are rooted and established in love, but it's almost like he contradicts himself a little bit later. He says that we need to know this love that surpasses knowledge. So in other words, we're to know this love, we are to be rooted and established in a love that we can't really know because it surpasses knowledge. That seems like a contradiction, but what Paul is doing here is he's kind of bookending this, and I'm going to run out of room there, but he's kind of bookending this whole section here with the idea of what God's love is. Your relationship with God is rooted and established in his love for you. If he didn't love you, you couldn't have a relationship with him. And if you didn't love him back, you wouldn't have a relationship with him. So it is rooted and established in love, but you can know God's love your entire earthly life, and you'll never know it in full because it does surpass knowledge. So in other words, the more that you fall in love with God, the closer you get to God, the more you're going to know his love, but you'll never know that love completely because that love surpasses knowledge. He's praying that that love would take over our life. He's saying that he's praying that they would have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. It's a 360-degree love. It's a love that swallows us whole if we allow it to. And if you allow it to, that love will overflow from your life into the life of other people as you share the gospel with them, as you show them the love of Jesus. I took a lot of my notes from the first sermon of the year to preach this sermon today, and on here, I had that I shared a story about someone who didn't think God could love someone like them. And I'm sad to say that that same person has attempted suicide twice this year. The devil is still working on them. The devil has made them believe that they are not lovable. They have made the comment that if they walk in the doors of this church would burn down. They've walked through the doors of this church multiple times. It's not burned down, but they're thinking on Sunday morning. They think they are so bad that God would punish all of us because they're here. And they've tried taking their life twice this year. One time, very, very close. Other one was just really threatening. People need God's love more now than maybe ever in our lifetimes. If we're not going to show them the love now, when are we? We've got to show them the love of Jesus that is beyond comprehension. We need to know this love as much as possible, and all this is for a purpose. Because the next part is when Paul says that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, this sentence right here is, there's a lot here. Because he doesn't pray that we would just be filled with God. He prays that we may be filled to the measure, capacity, of not only with God, but with the fullness of God. He basically is talking about being filled three different times. That we would be filled with all the fullness of God. That everything God is would be in us, and if everything God is in us, it will overflow into the world, it will grow his church, and we will be literally little Christ, which is what Christians meant in the first place, we'll be little Christ walking around here doing the work that he has called us to do. I pray that this same thing would happen for us this year. That we would see people be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. In the Wesley tradition, we'd call that entire sanctification. We would say that people would be filled with so much love of God that they don't want to do wrong anymore. This past year, we have baptized 4 people in our church. We've seen around 12 people come to faith in Jesus. Not only that, this number shocked me. Not only that, but based off of what I could see on our records, we've had over 80 gifts come through our doors this past year, with obviously some of them choosing to make here their church home, some of them finding other church homes elsewhere. But I was so impressed at our Christmas Eve service. We had a ton of visitors at our Christmas Eve service. That's awesome. But where I've seen this come true most is, once again, not in the numbers. Where I've seen this expanding the kingdom of God come true most is the long-term relationships that many of you are working on. You're not simply going up to someone and handing them a tract and saying, hey, I've shared the gospel with you, I'm good to go. Instead, what you are doing is you're taking the time to let God's love overflow from your hearts into the lives of other people. Maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your friends, maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your coworkers. Maybe it's a complete stranger. Maybe it's people that you've met at some of our giveaways, some of our outreach events. But what you're doing is you're building a loving relationship, and that takes time. But ultimately, it can result in true kingdom fruit with people coming faith in Jesus Christ, and I pray that you'll see fruit from those efforts one day. And as we continue to expand the kingdom of God, what we will see and what we have seen this past year is that we will expand our kingdom influence. And what I meant in regards to that is that's for us as a church. At this point last year, our church was indirectly influencing the Liberty community, and we were directly influencing the Seagrove community. We were indirectly influencing the Liberty community through New Life. Don and Kathy, Mike and Pat was up there. Ministering up there. We were providing funds to help out up there. We were doing outreach up there. Many of you spent your entire summer that year, 2023 summer, painting and remodeling. And I mean, I basically felt like I lived up there for a little bit of it. Since then, though, we have become network partners with Troy Wesleyan, that is now called Life Point Church in Troy, Mount Zion Wesleyan in Westmore, and now Randleman First Wesleyan in Randleman. God is using you to have a positive kingdom influence in more places than just here in Seagrove, which is stuff that I, when we started this church, I never really imagined. And it reminds me of this verse right here. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more, which, by the way, immeasurably more we think is a word or a phrase that Paul came up with. It doesn't seem to appear anywhere else. And so he's basically come up with a brand new word, kind of like we in Seagrove do sometimes when we don't know how to say it exactly right. We just come up with something. That's right, it works, doesn't it, Randy? Immeasurably more. That God can do immeasurably more than what we can ask or imagine. Why? It goes back to the first part of that verse. It's his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He says this key part right here is his power that is at work within us. So everything we've talked about today, that's not us. Yes, you've taken steps. Yes, you've taken steps to allow God to work in your life. But ultimately, he's the one who saves. And he's the one who has set up these connections that we have with other churches as we try to reach that 130,000 people that we need to reach in Randolph County, and we're even stretching down into more in Montgomery counties. It is his power that has worked within us, so that means he gets the glory for whatever happens through these partnerships and through these ministries. We have the opportunity to continue to see him work through us through our partnerships this year. We're still obviously helping at New Life. We have helped New Life and Liberty get back up on their feet. And they are now standing more independently, which has resulted in Mike and Pat and Don and Kathy coming back to us. This year, we have the opportunity to do the same sort of thing with Randleman First Wesleyan. Randleman First has had a tough go at it the last few years. Stories that I've heard, basically, that it was a booming church up to 2020, like, I mean, our church was booming up to 2022, and then when 2020 hits, a lot of churches struggle coming out of it. Randleman First, they lost some members, they lost some core workers during that time, but it didn't stop the ones left from doing what God has called them to do. If you've been a part, if you have been part of some of our partnerships with Randleman First, you know that we have helped out of that their blessing pantry here the last couple months, and we're especially going to need you this upcoming month. It is, to me, one of the best ministries that they have going on there. And when we were looking at, before we were partnering, the idea that that ministry could stop broke our hearts, broke Heather's heart, broke James' heart. Because according to Heather, so you can blame her if these numbers are wrong, there's 19,710 food insecure people in Randolph County. I don't know where she got that number from, but that's a lot of people. I'm throwing her under the bus. James is the number guy. Heather is not. There's a lot of people who need food in Randolph County. Randolph's a pretty big city. They have a Walmart, so that makes them a metropolis compared to Seagrove. We have a Dollar General. They have a Food Lion. So they are huge compared to us, and they didn't really have a dedicated food pantry, which shocked me. We have a food pantry here in Seagrove to meet needs. And our food pantry in Seagrove gets a lot of attention, a lot of food handed out from here. I can't remember how many pounds of food gets handed out from here every year, but it's a bunch. And so they saw a need in their community, and the ones that were left, they decided to meet that need. And one of the stories from this past time, I was at the check-in table entering in people's information, and there was this guy that came up, and you could tell he just came from work. He was wearing like a construction outfit, and he was nervous. He was embarrassed even, and came up and said, I've never had to do this before. I've never had to come to one of these before. What do I do? And immediately, the two ladies at the table, they immediately helped him fill out his card. They explained the process. And he was just so grateful, but you could tell he was so nervous and embarrassed. And he told them, he says, we just can't make ends meet this month. He needed food. His family needed food. After he finished at the check-in table, he immediately went to the prayer table, filled out a prayer request card, and I believe one of y'all prayed with him like right then. And then he was able to go get the food, and he told one of them as he was leaving, this was nothing like what I thought it would be, which we took as a compliment, because I think he was coming in thinking he was going to be embarrassed, thinking that he was going to be shamed for needing food. Instead, all he felt was love, the love of Jesus. And he's not dependent on the government. He's dependent on the church. The government can meet their material needs, but the government's not going to be able to meet their spiritual needs, which is the most important need. But the church can. And we've seen Randleman First continue to do ministry, stories like that. If you go look at their Facebook page, you can see that there were some salvations, there were some baptisms that's taken place over the last few years. And ultimately what is left is what I'm calling the remnant. We still don't know how many the remnant includes, but there's still a group there that is wanting to do ministry, wanting to do the work that God has called them to do, and they just could use some assistance in that. And so we're excited to partner with them, not only them, but Life Point, New Life, and Mount Zion as well, as we continue to try to do ministry, not only here in Seagrove, but beyond that. We probably will be holding a meeting between the pastors of all those churches at some point to talk about what we can do together. I know us and Randleman First and possibly Troy have already talked about doing some youth events together. Might even be some opportunities for us to do special worship gatherings together. But ultimately the goal is that we're going to work together for the building of God's kingdom. And so here's our word for this year. And I'll go and warn you, it's not a fun word. It's not a fancy word. When I gave the word, I mentioned it last week to Elizabeth and Bernard, and they were just like, but haven't we been doing that? And I said, yeah, but it's going to another level. But here's our word for this year. Work. Simple as that. Work. And maybe it's just because I feel like I'm the busiest I've ever been in my life, and maybe it feels like I'm working the most I've ever worked in my life, but this is the word that God gave me. And here's the verses that we're going to use. It's Philippians 2, 12 through 13. It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. And so over the next month, actually, I'm going to be at Randleman helping during the transition period, because that transition happens here in a couple weeks. So I will probably not, you'll probably not see me around here on Sunday morning for at least three or four Sundays. My plan is to be up there. But when I come back, I do plan on preaching a series talking about how God has called us to work this year. The first one is that, work after your salvation. We are not saved by works. We are saved to do works. But part of being saved, this was some language we started using this past year, and I really liked it. Because we talk about being saved, and we act like it's a one-time decision, and then you're good to go. That one-time decision is just the starting point. I don't remember where I read it, where I heard it, but we are saved, and we're always being saved. Being saved is a daily thing. We need God's grace every day, and that requires us to take time out of our day to spend with God, to receive his grace, receive his presence, and to work out our salvation. So we're going to talk about what that means. Second, we're going to talk about God working in us. How does he want to work in us? How do we allow him to work in us? And it kind of goes back to the work part. And then ultimately, we're going to talk about doing God's work, to fulfill his purpose in our life, to fulfill his purpose in our church, to fulfill his purpose in Randleman, to fulfill his purpose in Liberty, in Troy, in Westmore, and all of these communities as we seek to do the work of God together. I believe we are going to see fruit this year, possibly like we've never seen it before. And, you know, that sounds really good. We like fruit. But, like, someone, and this is not a hit to Ramblin' First, so don't take this, but somebody congratulated me on being named whatever I've been named at Ramblin' First. And I said, well, I'm not sure it's a congratulation type thing. Like, it's a lot of work. That's legit. There we go. Thank you. I was like, it's not really, it's like they're asking me to work more for nothing, but I'm willing to do it because I want to see the Randleman community. I want to expand God's kingdom there too. And I want to see God work and God move and through us and through our church. And I do think God has blessed our church in great ways with people who are willing to serve. I've been so grateful for those of you that have helped out at the Blessing Pantry, that have served in the nursery, that have served up in, the mom just said amen, that have served in tech and sound up there. I know Corey and Bernard has been in tech and sound up there. And we're probably going to be asking you to do more stuff like that over the course of the next year. But I'm thankful that we are willing to work together in order to build God's kingdom, both here in Randleman and Liberty. Troy, many of you have helped at Troy this past year. Thank you for doing that. And then Mount Zion's one of our newer churches that we've gathered with. Me and their pastor, Derek Britt, are good friends. But they are pretty healthy, and they don't need as much help, but it's more about us teaming up together because there are too many people going to hell for our churches not to work together to build God's kingdom. I think that's the core focus for us this year, is to work through what God has called us to do here in Seagrove and even outside of Seagrove. And so today we do have Heather Von Cannon, her husband David, and we have James and his wife Kendra here and their families. They have been named the co-pastors of Randleman First, working with me. We've met just the three of us twice. We met with their board once, and developing plans, developing direction for the church, coming up with a mission, a vision, and ultimately we were supposed to meet with their church today at 2:00, but we canceled that because of the storms, which they came through early, so I guess we could have done it anyway, but we're planning on meeting with them next Sunday, actually after church now, just to kind of help settle things down. The current pastor there is named Stephen Barnes. Me and him have been great friends. He's a good guy, good pastor. He just feels called into this next chapter in his life. And so his last Sunday is going to be January 12th. And so they'll take over officially January 13th. And so just be praying for all of us during that time. But ultimately, I want us to pray over them. And so I told them I might ask them to come up and speak. And I'm going to ask them to come up and speak because I've got 9 minutes left on my sermon clock. And Heather talks at least 12 minutes. So, and then James tries to keep it short. But does somebody have a microphone for them to use? Maddie, okay. Y'all come up and just share a little bit about your vision for the church. And then once we finish that, we'll pray over them, and then we'll get you out of here. In the board meeting, I told them both, I said, I want you to share your vision for your part of the ministry in 5 minutes. Because that's what they told me to do when I went to church planner assessment. They told me I had 5 minutes to share a vision for a whole church. And so they just have like two departments that they were supposed to share on. And Heather talked for like 13, 12, something like that. And James was done in like 6 minutes. James is a man of few words.
So I'm James Martin, co-pastor of Random First Wesleyan. And I'm going to be responsible for basically discipleship, our small groups. So for me, the number one thing about churches is the connection. So people come in, whether they are churched or unchurched, their first step is to make that connection with the people. And when you make that connection with the people, you undoubtedly will meet Jesus in the process. And then we'll keep trying to go further and further to strengthen that connection to each other while also strengthening our connection to God. And then once that connection, you know, you see the fruits of that, you can't help but want to connect those in the community to your church and connect them back to God. So it's our goal to create a robust church family of people who are deeply rooted in their faith with an outpouring for those to seek and save those that are lost. So that's kind of my vision for the church. If you've never been to Randleman, you'll see that it's a church set upon a hill overlooking what was an old car wash but is now a farmer's market. And it's kind of, to me, it's a beacon of hope to the city. It's a city set on a hill. It's a candlelight that you can't put out. And we want to be that beacon of hope to those people who are lost, dark, and maybe feel like they don't belong anywhere else. So that's kind of my vision for Random and First Wesleyan.
Okay, so I'm Heather, and I'm the one that speaks all the time and talks way too much. James did a really good job at kind of saying where our heart is behind discipleship and whatnot within our church. My role in it is more outreach focused. So I am the one who has been in charge of our blessing pantry, and these two things have to work symbiotically. They have to go hand in hand, because the thing is, you guys have such a good setup here, and the pastors here are phenomenal for you guys, because it's not just about y'all gathering here on Sunday mornings. It is about y'all's community, and every single person sitting here knows that. There is no denying that here at Cornerstone, and that's ultimately what we want at Randleman. We want to be so rooted and established in the Word of God that we cannot help but see the needs in our communities. We want to be so outward focused also that whenever people see us set up on a hill, that they know that they are the ones who love, and we love because Jesus loved. So that's what we want to be able to portray to Randleman and to our community, that everyone is welcome. It doesn't matter what they were doing the night before. It doesn't matter what they're going to continue to do the next day, because that's what Jesus has done for us. And we like to, James and I both did not come from Christian backgrounds, which has made it actually even more fun becoming pastors of a church that is very, I guess, traditional, and also set ablaze to reach those who traditionally have not been welcomed by the church. And you guys do a great job at that here at Cornerstone also, and we want to be able to partner in that way. Our life source is Jesus and what he teaches us in the New Testament, so we want to be able to turn that back around and apply that to Randleman, like y'all are doing here in Seagrove. Whenever you hand out coats or we hand out food, it's just saying, hey, we see you, we're going to know your name, you are beloved by the King of the universe, so that means you are also beloved to us. So those stories that Nathan was talking about, it's been a hard time at Randleman, but God is not done there, and we have seen that so frequently. We are going to see goodness in the land of the living. We are confident in that, that it's going to be hard. Again, this isn't probably a congratulation move for Nathan, but we're thankful for him nonetheless. But yeah, we're going to see goodness in the land of the living. God is not done, and he is working those interrelationships. Even within our church and the people who have been there, we are working discipleship-wise. James has a plan and is going towards that full throttle. We are going towards outreach also because, you know, faith without works is dead. We're not saved through works, but at the same time, we should have such a love for Jesus and a knowledge about him and what he wants for us that it should be pouring out of us. So, yeah, I could speak more. I won't. But thank you guys so much for being so welcoming to us also. We have felt love whenever y'all come and volunteer. We have felt love with y'all watching our kids. amen. We have a bunch of them between us. And just the fact that y'all would willingly come up and help and see the vision and see that we share y'all's vision, that is a huge deal. That is a huge deal because we are not in gangs, we are in churches, and we're all for the kingdom. So, okay, that's all.
Here you go.
Take the microphone.
Yeah, take that.
Just stay up here. So I'm on the District Board of Ministerial Development, so I have interviewed both of them beforehand, and then some people's coming up to Heather and like, you look familiar. She's been here twice now. She's the director of Young Lives here in Randolph County. And so that's the one that works with pregnant teen moms or teen moms. And so you've seen her twice already. And then some of you have worked with James. Kathy's worked with James, and a few other people know James. James something fancy somewhere. He works with Beverly. Yeah, he's very smart. His resume, I couldn't even read it. It tells you how smart he is. So I just looked at the part that said assistant pastor, and that's all that matters. But hearing their stories, and then in the times that we've had our meetings together, they complement one another a lot. One of them talks a lot, one of them doesn't. You can determine which one. One of them's a very analytical mind. The other one's a lot more relational mind. James is, even in our discussion on Friday, James was, very much talking about focusing on people in the church, and then Heather was like, "But we need to reach people outside the church." And it was really good seeing them work together, and I'm really excited for that partnership. They've known each other for how long? They went to school together, freshman year in high school. So they're old right now. So older than me, so that makes them old. And so they've worked with one another, known one another for a long time, and I really think that their partnership in leading the church and our partnership with Random and First is going to be really good for that church. But if I know one thing about pastoring, it's a war zone. It's not easy. It's not easy on the pastors. It's not easy on the spouses. It's not easy on the family. And so what I'd like for us to do today as we end today's service is I'd like for us to lay our hands on them and pray over them because they're walking into a war zone. They've been there, but it's about to go to a whole nother level at this point with them taking on leadership, higher level leadership role within the church, being the point people and leading the church. And I know we have an enemy that's going to try to take them out, going to do everything he can to stop what's happening at Random and First, try to stop anything good, try to stop the ministry that's being done, try to stop the work that's being done. And so we're going to pray against that, and we're going to pray for them, we're going to pray for their spouses, we're going to pray for their families, pray for protection, and pray ultimately that God's power would be at work in their life. So if y'all come down here on the floor and your spouses will come up, families will come up, and then I'm going to invite the rest of the church to come up here and gather around them and lay hands on them. And then the rest of the church will come up and lay hands on them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as I come to you in prayer right now, Lord, we thank you for the way that we've seen you work, both here in our church and at Random and First. Lord, it wasn't a coincidence that you laid on my heart to contact Pastor Stephen about partnering with that church here earlier this year, and then to see that partnership go to a whole nother level now with us helping lead them back to health and to help them through this transition time. And Lord, you've called both James and Heather to lead that church, to be the boots on the ground, to do the work that you've called them to do there at that church. Lord, I thank you for their hearts. I thank you for their faith in you. I thank you for your saving work in their life. And I thank you for the way that you worked in them and through them up to this point to touch many, many lives. And Lord, we believe we're just seeing the beginning of that. Lord, as they step into pastoral ministry here, at Random and First, into their leadership roles, Lord, I pray that you would continue to be at work in their life, that your power, that your presence would be at work in their life. And Lord, that you would protect them from the evil one. Lord, I know that Satan's going to try to stop them, try to do everything he can to take them out, to try to distract them, to try to keep them busy with things that doesn't matter. But Lord, I pray ultimately they would continue to make disciples of you, that they would keep the main thing the main thing, and that your love would continue to overflow in them and through them, ultimately, Lord, to reach people in that community. And Lord, we pray for their spouses. We pray for David. We pray for Kendra. Lord, sometimes I think it's harder on the spouse than it is the pastor. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be with them, that you would work in them, that you help them to come along and support and to be there for their spouses as they do the work that you've called them to do. And Lord, we pray for the children. I pray that you would have a hedge of protection around them. Lord, church ministry can get ugly sometimes. Lord, protect them from that. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to grow up and to see church for what it's meant to be, a healthy church that reaches the community with the gospel, and that they would want to be a part of that for the rest of their lives, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that you would protect them, that you would work in their lives as well. And, Lord, we pray for the people of Random and First. Lord, I pray that they would come alongside James and Heather, that they would support them, that they would get on board with the vision that you have for that church, the vision that you've given them. And, Lord, I pray that you would help them to continue to do the work that you have called them to do. And ultimately, Lord, we pray for the Random and community. It's a growing community. It's a community that needs Jesus. The numbers there are similar to the numbers in rest of Randolph County. Father, I pray that you would help us to partner with them to reach that community with your gospel. Lord, I pray that over this next year we would see salvations, that we would see baptisms, that we would see sanctifications, that we'd see people come to faith in you, and you'd work through them in mighty and powerful ways. Lord, I pray that we're coming back here at the end of next year, maybe even a joint service with our churches, and we are celebrating all that you've done at Random and First in the last year. And so, Father, I pray that you would continue to work through these two individuals and through their families. Father, I pray that your power, your love, and your presence would be at work in their lives in ways that only you can. And so, Lord, I pray that as we leave here today and as they prepare to take over on the 13th, I pray that you would continue to use them and use us to support them in any way that we can as we seek to do your work in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Be careful. Thank you for being here.